Okay, now John chapter 3 and verse 16. John 3:16. The scripture, our Lord is speaking, and he says here, For God so, and that word so means in this manner. For God in this manner loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, the four tells us that everything he'd been saying up to this point tells us the manner in which God loves. Let's go back and read it. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now this is the manner in which God loves. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter into the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that's born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered, and he said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. This is the manner in which God loves, right here. We speak that which we do know. The gospel is preached. That's how the manner in which God loves. Verse 12, If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. This is the manner in which God loves. In his Son, the Son of Man, the Son of God, the Son of Man, sent down from heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. This is the manner in which God loves. Right here. As the serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Verse 15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. This is the manner in which God loves, right here. Now, these are five, six things here he showed us in the manner in which God loves. And then he says, verse 16, For God, that word so means after this manner. For God, after this manner, loved the world. He hasn't been talking about the quantity of God's love, that he loves so much and so dearly. He's been talking about the manner in which God loves. And he says, he loved for God after this manner loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now let's turn to Numbers chapter 21, and let's see this in what happened in the wilderness. Numbers chapter 21, verse 4. Hold your place there in John 3. We'll go back to it. I'll reference each one of those things I said as I read that to you. All right, Numbers 21, verse 4. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom, and the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, Wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Now here's the first thing. God, after this manner, loves, not because of anything in those he saves. Or you could say it like this, by grace. That's what's included in the fact that a sinner must be born of God. He saves by grace. Now, in our text here, This is a type of God's elect, which make up his spiritual Israel. Now, they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Nicodemus had a problem with this. He came, he was a Jew, and he believed that only the Jews were the chosen elect children of God. And they considered the Gentiles the world. And the Lord is telling him, as he's speaking to him in John chapter 3, he said, "For God after this manner loved the world." He makes it clear to him that God's people are not just an elect people among the Jews, but they're an elect people among the Gentiles as well. But here's a good example of what all God's elect are by our first birth in Adam. Verse 5, the people spake against God. That's what we are. We speak against God. Verse 5 says, the people spake against Moses. Moses is God's messenger. He represents God's word, God's law, God's how he sent his word to them. They spake against him. We broke God's law in Adam in the garden, and we fell under the curse, and enmity entered in, so that we hate God, and we hate his word, and we hate his messengers, because the carnal mind is enmity against God. You ever wonder why, if you have a spouse who doesn't love the word of God, or you have friends who do not love the word of God, have you ever wondered why they get real uneasy when the word of God begins to be mentioned, or the gospel begins to be mentioned, or anything having to do with religion begins to be mentioned? It's called enmity, hatred. It bubbles up from the heart. That's what the heart is. It's all it's made out of, the natural heart. Here's verse 5. Here's another example. The people said, "Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness?" This wasn't Moses' fault. They had already come to the land of Canaan. They'd already come there and sent spies into the land of Canaan and saw it exactly as God said it would be and didn't believe God and came back, and God turned them around and said, "You're going back into the wilderness till every one of you perish in the wilderness." It was their own fault that they were marching away from Canaan and not towards Canaan. But who did they blame? They blamed God and they blamed Moses. Everybody by nature that God saves are self-righteous, self-justifiers. It's always somebody else's fault. All right, verse 5. Again, the people said, "There's no bread, neither is there any water." God had given them quail to eat. He'd given them manna. He'd given them water out of the rock. God had provided everything you and I need in this world as we journey through this wilderness. And by nature, we're murmurers against God. That's it. That's the best you got to offer God. Verse 5, and they said, "And our soul loatheth this light bread." Be turning to John chapter 6 with me. That light bread was the manna that he gave from heaven. And it is a picture and a type of Christ Jesus, the bread. And by nature, men despise Christ the bread. They murmured and murmured, and he gave them the bread. Men will murmur and murmur and murmur, and God will give them the gospel. He'll give them Christ. And they'll hear it and feed on it and feed on it and say, "I hate it. Would you give me something else? I hate it. Will you give me something else? I loathe it." Well, look at what the Lord said. John 6, verse 28. "Then said they unto him, What shall we do that we might work the works of God? Now Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, What sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work?" You remember when the Lord told Ahaz, "Ask a sign"? And Ahaz, in his pious self-righteousness, said, "Oh, I don't want to tempt the Lord God." And the Lord said, "I'm going to give you a sign anyway. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and be with child." Christ is the sign. You know why, when he stood in front of the Pharisees and they said, "Show us a sign," he didn't give them one? Because he is the sign. He is the sign. He is salvation. So they said, "Show us that we may see and believe thee. What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat." And they were talking about Moses. Moses gave them the bread, they were saying. Then Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven." That's where you're wrong, first of all. Moses didn't give it. And second of all, "My Father giveth you the true bread from heaven, for the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world." Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And he said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. But I said unto you, ye also have seen me, and you believe not. You've seen me. You're looking right at me. You see the sign, but you don't believe. You don't believe. All right, back over to Numbers 21. The curse of sin is God's judgment. Look at verse 6. The Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. All this murmuring and complaining. Now this happened in the garden. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Death passed upon all men, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So absolutely nothing of merit is in the one that is saved. This is the manner after which God loves. There's nothing in the person whom he saves that merits anything. It's all of God's grace. Jesus said to Nicodemus, he came, and this man was a strict Pharisee. This man was a learned man. This man came boasting of what he knew. We know you're a prophet. And the Lord said, the Lord told him some things, and he couldn't understand them. And he said, are you a master in Israel? And you don't know these things? You don't know the manner in which God loves. You don't know how it is God loves. That's what he told. That's what he's saying to him. He says, we speak that we do know and testify that we have seen, and you don't receive our testimony, he said. Here's the second. God, after this manner, loves. His children must be born a second time. They must be born of God to be able to hear and understand and perceive and receive what God has worked out. Look at verse 7. Numbers 21:7. Therefore, this is very important. Therefore, the people came. Now you notice here, it wasn't until God sent the serpents in their midst. It wasn't until God sent that serpent in their midst and it began to bite them and they began to die that they came. The Lord said, except a man be born again, he can't see the kingdom of God. Except a man's born of God and been taught of God and been instructed in his heart so that he's convicted in his heart and judgment sets up in his heart and he beholds what he is, that he's sinned, that he's bitten, that he's dead and dying in trespasses and in sins. Only then, therefore, when God gives man life, quickens him, then he'll come to God. But he won't come before that. He won't come before that. Paul said, I was alive once without the law. He thought he was. He thought he was righteous. But when the commandment came, when God spoke in his heart, when Christ arrested him on the road to Damascus and he saw who Christ is, he said, sin revived and I died. I beheld I'd been bitten by that serpent. I beheld that I was dead in trespasses and sin and the poison had entered into me. Here's the third thing. God, after this manner, loves through a mediator. Look at verse 7. Therefore, the people came to Moses. They came to Moses. God makes the sinner to know they need a go-between. They need somebody to go. We need somebody to go between us and God. We can't go to God ourselves. And these folks, when they began to be bit by that serpent, they began to figure out, We need mercy. We need mercy. And they went to Moses and they said, Moses, we need mercy. That's what the Lord told Nicodemus. He said, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. This is the manner in which God loves. He loves through a mediator. There is one. There is one mediator between God and men. The man, Christ Jesus. He's the only one. He had to come down because men couldn't come up to God. He had to come down to do something for men because men couldn't come to God. The only way, he said, I am the way. He's the door. He's the way. The only way, the only entrance to God. He said, I'm the truth. He is the word. He is the gospel we preach. And he said, I'm the life. He is our life. You need the way, you need the truth, and you need the life. That's what you need. That's what we need, and that's who he is. Look at verse 7. And they said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Now, coming to Christ is going to involve repentance. It's going to involve a confession of what we are. We've sinned against God, and we've sinned against His Christ. We've sinned against God, and we've sinned against His Son. We've sinned against God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, do you behold what you are? Do you behold this, that all you are by nature is against God, against His law, against Christ, against His gospel, and against His people? That's what these people were. That's what they were. Verse 7, but they come now and they said, pray unto the Lord that He take away the serpents from us. This is what's involved. They left everything in Moses' hands to intercede for them. They came to Him now. They were arguing against Him, boasting against Him. And now they come and they say, Moses, pray for us. Intercede for us. A picture of Christ Jesus, the intercessor. True faith is it's repenting from your sin and your rebellion against God, and it's casting all your care on God and crying out for Him to show you mercy in the person of His Son. Believing on Christ Jesus, the mediator. And look at the next verse. Verse 7, the end. And Moses prayed for the people. This is what the Hebrew writer said. He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. This is a picture of Christ Jesus. They came to Him, and guess what happened? They got what they asked for. They got what they asked for. He interceded for them. Here's the fourth thing. God loves after this manner, in righteousness which is manifest in the faithfulness of His Son. Verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. The Lord told Nicodemus in John 3:14. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why is that? Why is this so? Why is this a must? Why is this a must? The Son of God was faithfully, willingly made what His elect are. First of all, He was made of a woman. He didn't come to save angels, elect angels. He didn't come to save spirits. He came to save children chosen of God who are flesh and blood. For as much then as the children were partakers of flesh and blood, He likewise took part of the same, that through death He might destroy them that had the power of death and deliver them, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death have been all their lifetime subject to bondage. He was made according to the flesh, made of a woman. He was made under the law. Perfect Son of Man. Perfect man. The only perfect man. Holy, perfect, spotless. The spotless Lamb of God. He was made a curse. Everybody that sinned in Adam, and as everybody, fell under the curse of God's law in Adam. And the Lord Jesus Christ came, and He was made a curse. For it's written, cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. He was made a curse that He might redeem His people from the curse of the law. And Paul, when he quotes that in Galatians 3:13, right after that, he says the very thing the Lord says here when He said, for God, after this manner, loved the world. Paul says in Galatians 3:14, he says that the promise that was made to Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, the world, His elect among the Gentiles through faith. That's how the promise is given. But He's made the curse. And when He was made the curse, He bore the wrath of God. But Christ makes His people what He is. That's what we read in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. That's what you got to have, the righteousness of God. You got to be made the righteousness of God. Here's the fifth manner. God loves after this manner, through faith alone. Look at verse 8 there. Numbers 21:8. Second part. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten When he looketh upon this fiery serpent, he shall live. He shall live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now that's why the Lord told Nicodemus when he was lifted up. He said, John 3:15, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. The Son of Man must be lifted up like that serpent was. He got to be made of a woman. That's why I'm here, Nicodemus. That's what he was telling him. It got to be made under the law. That's why I'm here, Nicodemus. I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it, to establish it in righteousness and justice, to honor and magnify it. He's got to be lifted up because he's got to be made a curse. He's got to be made what his people are. That fiery serpent, that sin that was biting his people. He had to be made what his people are in order to make his people what he is. And he says, and here's why the Son of Man came, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. They should not perish but have everlasting life, eternal life. You know all they were required to do? This is all they were required to do was look. That's it. That's it. All they were required to do was look. He said, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he had sent. That's the work of God. Why is that all that I do? Well, God's the justifier. He did the justifying. Christ fully established the law, honored and obeyed the law. He's the holiness of his people, the righteousness of his people. God is just. He satisfied his justice. He sent his Son, his Lamb. He's the justifier. He poured out his justice. He satisfied his justice. He sends forth his Moses. He sends forth his messengers with his word, declaring, look, he said, after this manner, we testify that which we've seen and which we know. And he quickens through the Spirit. He gives life in the inner man. He causes you to become alive. And behold, you've been bitten, that the sin is revived and you died. You realize you cannot do anything. You cannot save yourself. He draws you and causes you to come to him and cry out, pray for us that God will have mercy on us. Lord, I cast all my soul upon you in mercy. I need you to intercede for me. I need you to mediate for me between God the Father. And the Son of Man intercedes for his people. And everything is done. Everything has been worked out. Everything is completely accomplished. And now all faith does is take what's already done, what's already accomplished, what's already finished, what's already been wrought, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth to be satisfaction through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness that he might be just and the justifier of them which believe. Look at Romans 3:27. Look at Romans 3:27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. It's excluded. By what law? By the law of works? No, but by the law of faith. It's excluded. Therefore we conclude a man's justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it's one God which shall justify the circumcision, the Jews by faith, and the uncircumcision, the Gentiles through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? No, that's how we establish the law. That's how we establish the law, brethren. Then the Lord told Nicodemus, now look back at John 3:16. The Lord told Nicodemus, for God, so, after this manner. That's what it means. For God, after this manner. You got to be born of God. It's nothing in you. It's by grace. Got to be born of God. Secondly, You got to be taught. This gospel's got to be preached to you. We testify that we've seen and heard. Thirdly, the Son of Man had to come down. You're only going to come to God in a mediator. Fourthly, He's done it in righteousness. The substitute paid all His people owed. They're justified from all sin. They've been made righteous in God, lifted up as a serpent in the wilderness. In verse 15, He receives only through faith. That's the only way, only through faith. For God, verse 16, after this manner loved the world. And He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, the problem with sinners is not that we're unwilling to do something to save ourselves, but that we're unwilling to do nothing that we might be saved by another. That's what makes believing absolutely not easy. God has to work a work of grace in the heart. Salvation's open to everybody who's willing to come God's way. Why then do so few come? Because God has to make you willing to come His way. And nobody's willing to come this way. Nobody's willing to come as a nobody, nothing, unable to do anything, begging like a dog on their hands and knees, licking His feet and begging Him to have mercy on you. Just throw you a crumb. And say, I loathe that light bread. I loathe it. I'm too wise and I'm too prudent for that. We're going to look at that in our second hour. This is how God saves. Faith takes nothing from you. Faith takes nothing done by you. Faith demands you add nothing. Faith is believing and continue believing. Not in anything you've done, not in anything you've not done. Faith is casting your care, your whole self, your whole eternal salvation into the hands of Jesus Christ. And Paul told the Ephesians, and this is the gift of God. If you believe Him, thank Him. If you believe Him, praise Him and thank Him. Because there's just not very many people in this world that do. Not very many. Amen.